And for those people who don't have a seat, we want you to have a seat. How many can say today, without question, we've seen some things today that maybe we've never seen before? Anybody here today? Okay. How many knows that God does amazing things? Everything is about God is amazing. Everything about God is amazing. I want to share just a few thoughts here today about this whole event, this whole day. And to be honest with you, I forgot my watch. That's probably a bad thing for a pastor to forget his watch. But I just found another one, okay? So, that's right. Amen. I like that, Roy. We're on the Lord's time. How many knows that? But see, sometimes your schedules put the pressure on. Because I know people say, well, I got things to do. Yeah, the Lord does have things to do. And He's not finished yet. How many knows the Lord's not finished yet? So if you have your Bible, turn in the book of Matthew, chapter 21. Be turning there, okay? Because I'm going to get me a drink, a swallow of water here real quick. I'm not going to be long in your presence. It isn't late, but I want everybody to hang with me, okay? Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for being a part of this today. Wow. My heart is racing. It's racing. Everybody there? What chapter did I say then? Which 21? Wow, okay, you was listening. Okay. And if you're here today for the first time, you say, wow, this is really some different stuff here going on. Maybe. Maybe not. By the way, I'm gonna take a chance right here to do something, and I may get knocked in the head for it. No, I won't get knocked in the head for it. My son, some of you have been asking about Heath. Heath has some serious health issues as far as his hip goes. He is facing hip surgery, and he is really struggling right now with pain issues and mobility. He pushes through the week and tries to do his job. They want him to do surgery, but he's trying to put him off because in his thinking, he can't miss work right now. So, again, there's a miracle. Heath needs a miracle. And Heath, besides that, he's A-OK. He's prime A-OK. Okay, he loves Jesus. And I've seen this young man. I know him. Okay? I know his heart. And I know his background. And I know what God's done in his life. So he's okay. All right? So for those of people wearing, I want you to pray for me. Pray for him. And if you, like, go up to him like he's going to die or something, I'm going to get in trouble. Even though he's my son, you know what I'm talking about. Okay? Matthew chapter 21. Now, I read you some account here just a minute ago, and I'm going to read a few scriptures, and then I'm going to have you sit down, and I don't know what the Lord's going to do. Maybe today that all we'll do is just read. Maybe all we'll do is just read the scriptures. I don't know. But there's so many things here today stirring in my mind, and we appreciate you. And we know you're here by divine appointment. God has you where you are today. And knowing that, I don't want you to miss what God has for you. I don't want you to miss what God has for you. And Becky, do you have that image, you know, of Jenny? I'm not that Jenny. I'm sorry. Honestly, I didn't plan I mean, I know that's because she don't have a name and she is a female, and you call a female donkey a Jenny. Oh, I'm getting worse as it goes on. Okay. Sorry, Jenny. And just keep it back there in that first one. Did you know that this ministry owns a donkey? You know, the Lord told us a while back, 3 years ago, that the Lord wanted us to have a donkey. And Darlene believed that so much that she came and gave a donation. She said, Pastor Jeff, she says, I want to help you get that donkey. And she gave the finances to get that donkey because she believed that the Lord needed a donkey. And so 3 years later, we went and got a donkey. And it was, Jody and I went over in Tazewell County, man. I've never been over in there, but it's farm country. Sister Nadine, farm country. We're talking about farm country. Back in country that I've never been in before. And we went all over the hill hunting for a donkey. And the man had several donkeys. He says, we've got the one for you. And so a donkey, a Jenny, and her little colt. We couldn't get one without the other. We had to take both of them. So I know this is going somewhere. You're thinking, what in the world? Is the pastor going to preach on donkeys today? I am. Okay? I'm going to preach on your donkey. I'm going to preach on your donkey. You say, I don't have a donkey. Yes, you do. You have something that is useful for the Lord to use. You have something that no one else can do but you. You have a work to do that nobody else can do. You have a load to bear that nobody else can bear but you. You have a task to be about that no one else can do except you. You have an assignment that God has assigned for you that no one else can do except yourself. So, in Matthew chapter 21, I believe that the Lord, no matter how ridiculous or how not understood the ways of God are, God's ways are above our ways as the heavens of the earth. God's ways are not your ways. And know that, because God knows the total picture. You only know a little part of it, but God knows the whole plan. And so today in Matthew chapter 21, we read about a powerful story. The story that we have so powerfully, the Lord and the Holy Spirit has helped us today. Let me tell you something. I felt like, well, go, man, this roof is going to come off of this place. When that procession come through here and you got in the zone, it was a throne zone, Chris. Man, people, I felt like that people were going to just about lose gravitational force and get on out of here. So hang with me. Everybody say, I'm hanging, Pastor. Okay. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, chapter 21, verse 1, and they came to Bethany, which means the house of figs, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of his disciples. He sent two of his disciples, saying to them, I want you to go into the village opposite of you, and immediately you're going to find a donkey tied up. Think about that. Brianna, you're going to find a donkey tied up. Now, in the gospel here, it refers to as a donkey. But this story is paralleled in four of the gospels. It's one of the very few stories about Jesus, and what Jesus did, it is paralleled in all four gospels. So it's an important thing if Jesus put it there. But it's one of the most non-preached words that there is in the Word of God about this event right here. You're living in the future tense of this event right here. Because, see, your king has already come. Yes, he is coming again. We do believe that he's going to ride on the clouds of glory and he's coming back after a church. Okay, let me read this because some of you are getting nervous. Hang on there. I don't want to wear you out. Jesus said in verse 2, saying to them, go into the village opposite of you. Thank you for the light. And immediately, you're going to find a donkey tied and a colt with her. loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say this, the Lord has need of them. Can I say something to you that today, on the authority of God's word, God needs you. You wouldn't be here today if God didn't need you. Oh, I hear people say, well, God don't need me. Well, we know he's sovereign. He really don't need humanity, but he created humanity for a reason. And the fact is, you have a unique reason in your life. The Lord needs. Everybody say, turn to somebody and say, the Lord needs me. Wow. Well, thank you, Jesus. In verse 4, and this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, Zacharias, 575 years earlier, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went out and they did as Jesus commanded them. If everybody in here today did what Jesus commanded you to do, we couldn't stand ourselves in this place right now. There would be so many powerful events that take place that people from all over the world in third world countries would hear about what God is doing. Guess what? Listen, what God is going to do in you and through this tiny group of misfit people, listen, the world will know that God is on the throne and he is the king who has come. So the disciples went out and they did what Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the coat and they brought their clothes and they laid clothes on them and set him on the donkey. And Jesus sat on the one that was unbroke. I'll talk about that just in a second. That's important, isn't it, Jody? I would not want to sit on an unbroke donkey. Okay. And a great multitude spread their clothes on the roads, and others cut branches like palm leaves and trees and spread them out on the road. Then the multitude who went before them and all those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Everybody say, Hosanna! To the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. God's ready to move some things here today. He's ready to line things up in your heart, saying, who is this? And so the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. You may be seated. The triumphal entry of Jesus in Jerusalem is important. You got to remember this, okay? It's important. It's significant. Not only to the people of Jesus' day, but to Christians throughout the world and throughout history. We celebrate this day to remember a monumentous event. This event is powerfully important in the church and to the lives of the Christians. Jesus came through a gate. I remember what the psalmist said. Lift up ye gates, all ye people, for the King will come through those gates that we lifted up. So today, Jesus came through a part of Jerusalem near the Mount of Olives, and he came up through into Jerusalem. And there's spiritually powerfully important reasons why Jesus came in. You got to remember that years before this, many years before this, when they took the sacrificial lambs. And you got to understand, this day right here is important because this feast, this was a joyous occasion because this was a Passover. This was the beginning of the Passover week. We know what the Passover is, right? When Moses brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and God told them and delivered them with this one mighty act. He took the lamb that was without spot or blemish. They slayed that lamb and they took the blood and put it over the doorpost. And they said, the Lord shall pass over you. And everywhere that the blood is, he shall pass over you. Guess what, friend? Everywhere the blood is, the power and the presence of Jesus will pass over you. The hand of God, the judgment of God. Jesus became our judgment. He took our judgment. He took our pain. He bore those stripes. He died upon the cross, shed his blood, so that that judgment could be stayed from us. Again, this was the Passover. So the Lord told him, I want you to remember this day from now on out. I don't want you to forget it. And I want you to remember this by celebrating the Passover. And when you take this meal of the lamb and the bitter herbs and you eat this, you'll remember that my grace has visited you and my hand has passed over you and stayed the hand of death, and I have delivered you from the hand of the mighty Egyptians. Wow. That's awesome. I'm just trying to say something a little bit here to get to just not pull something out and get you to think about it and then not knowing a little bit about it. So it was Passover week. The week following this event would be the greatest test in Jesus' life. Jesus was going to the cross. He came through the gates of Jerusalem, and listen, he didn't come again that way. Jesus is coming again, and he's going to come through another gate when he comes to his kingdom. Jesus is going to come through the eastern gate, hallelujah, and he's going to reign and rule over all the earth, amen, with a great scepter. Of ministry, I've stretched my shabak, and I get raspy when I minister. So hang in there with me, okay? I feel this. I felt this so powerfully in my life. Jesus came. So it was Passover week. This would be the week of the Passion. This would be the week that Jesus would do a lot of things to start that Passion week. We know he suffered. He died. He would stand before Pilate. He would stand before the crowds. He would hear people say, crucify him. They would take him and flog him and beat him. And they would hang him on a cross. All those things were facing him. So we know the garden, the Last Supper, all those things were ahead of him. He knew that. He knew the cup that was in front of him. So this was Passover week. This is also a part of a great celebration called the Feast of Tabernacles. Because the Feast of Tabernacles, they would take little huts and build them out of palm leaves. And people would go inside those huts. The Passover week was a very celebrated event. It was very celebrated. So there would be people there. Normally in Israel and Jerusalem. Jerusalem at that time, normally the population is about 20,000 people. But on this day, there could have been upwards of 3 million people in that tiny little spot. In that part of the world, there would be over 200,000 sheep sacrificed on that day as people brought their sacrifices. So there was a busy place. There was a hum. There was a buzz all over the city. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, Jesus comes. Whoa. He comes. He comes to that day. He comes to that moment. He comes to that time. And what Jesus did there and what he would do in the future would change the course and destiny of men forever. Things will never be the same. How many knows when you get a hold of Jesus, things in your life are never the same? How can you go back? How can you go back? How can you go back? So today, here he is. So he comes to Jerusalem. He comes and a multitude of people are following him. A lot of the people that followed Jesus up to that point are the people that saw Lazarus raised from the dead. There were people following him and said, what now? What is he going to do? What great miracle is he going to do? There was expectation in that crowd that day, Rick. Roman, there was great expectation. Brianna, listen, there was great expectation. In you lived in the course of that pregnancy in the spirit of expectation. You're holding a miracle in your arms out of great expectation, because miracles are wrought and delivered in the birth canal of expectation. That's where the miracles happen. That's where the miracles happen. It's when you start expecting and walking in expectancy of every day. That's what we shared last week about expecting So there was a lot of anticipation, expectation. People didn't know what they were going to see. They didn't know all the kinds of things that were going to go on. But Jesus came and he told two of his disciples. We don't know who those disciples were. He told two of his disciples. We don't know who they were. He told two of these disciples. Listen, he told two of these disciples to go over in Tazewell County and get a donkey that he needs. And that donkey is cared for very well by this fine man's dad over in Mooresburg, Tennessee. He's got a great home. But you know what? I don't know why all the reasons, thank you, Jody. I don't know all the reasons why the Lord told us to get that donkey. Those disciples must have thought, now what in the world does the Lord want with a donkey? But they did as the Lord said. You know what? What we have to do with faith, we have to stop trying to figure out God in everything that He asks us to do. Because when God asks you to do something, we're not, when we do question, we do get messed up in our analytical thinking. But the fact is, obedience goes ahead and simply does what the Lord says to do. God knows. How many knows that God knows what He's doing? Some of you didn't raise your hand, so you must not know that what God's doing. God knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. And I don't know all the reasons why we got Jenny. I know she has been in a nativity. And Josh, if there was some remote way that I could have had this donkey here today, I would have done it. You know what? Because Jesus would have come right through that door on a donkey to show you He's the same God today as He was then. Some of you need to get a hold of that. He's the same God today that He was then. He hasn't changed, Josh. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. Melody's the same. The same God that turned water to wine. The same God that cleansed lepers. The same God that caused the lame to walk. The same God that raised the dead. It's the same God today. He hasn't changed. Don't let religion speak into your psyche and your mind and tell you that the power of the Lord has changed. No, the power of God is even greater today. He's the same. He's willing to do just the same today as He was then. So what an event. So the disciples went and got those two donkeys. I want you to know this. The man who they went and got the donkeys from, Jesus said, tell them the Lord has need of them. So he must have been, they must have been followers. The man who owned the livestock or the donkeys must have known the Lord and followed him because he identified himself to him as the Lord. What do you call Jesus? Well, some people call him Jesus. Some people call him Lord. Some people call him friend. But Jesus is many things to many people. But I know He's here today to meet your need. So they went and got the two donkeys. Now notice this. This is a powerful, powerful specific action that was done that day. They couldn't get the donkeys until they were untied. There's some of you today, you're not going to go any further in your relationship and your purpose with God because you're still not loosed yet. You're still tied up. Let me tell you what you're tied up with. You're tied up with pride. You're tied up with religion. You're tied up with all this background, this crazy tradition. You're tied up, and God has need of you. You'll never move out in the powerful purpose of God unless you get loose. You got to get free. God has need of you. Quit hanging on to the dead. Quit hanging on to your past. Quit hanging on to the things that are binding and tying you up. It's time for you to walk in freedom. It's time for you to get free and get loose so you can walk in the purpose of God. Oh man, Lord, I hope somebody's getting hold of this. Oh, I hope somebody getting a hold of this today. I smell fresh bread. I hope somebody's getting a hold of this today. The Lord needs you. Oh, the Lord needs you. The man, he went to the man. There's a little bit of the gift of knowledge going on there. And Jesus knew where it was. He knew where the donkeys were. He knew where the house was. Guess what? The Lord knows where you are. Listen, He knows more than the federal government. He knows your address. He knows everything about you. He knows you're up and down, you're in and out. He knows everything about you. If you think the federal government's got something on you, amen, you don't know anything yet. God knows everything about you. He knows the thought you messed up with this morning. He knows everything about you. So the Lord said, tell him I need him. I need them donkeys. The Lord needs you this morning. Think about that. That's an honor. Jesus needs you, Betty. He needs you, not because you're perfect, not because you're all brilliant, but you are smart, not because of all these things. He just needs you because He's got a purpose to fulfill in your life. Henry, He's got a purpose for you. The things you're walking in right now, months before you came here, you had a dream that one day you'd be walking in what you're walking in. Harless, did you hear me? You're walking. Ginger, you and Harless are walking. Will, you're walking. Grant, you're walking. But you've yet to walk in the things that God really has called you to do. All this right now is boot camp. God's taking you through things because of what He wants to do in your life tomorrow. So you've got to be faithful to complete the assignment that God has for you because He needs you. Turn to somebody and say, the Lord needs me. Do you get that? All this powerful celebration today was about a lot of things. Number one, it's about the King. We can't leave the King out. I didn't say Elvis. I said you can't. Not LeBron either. I didn't say that King. I said the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's no King like this King. There's no King. He's my King. He's your King. He's our King. Do you understand that? He's your King. Serve Him like He's your King. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Him. Nobody you could compare Him to. Who would you compare Him to? He don't even... Oh, don't even compare some king down here to Jesus. Don't even attempt it. Don't even think about it. Dismiss that thought. There is no power. There is no king. There is no kingdom except that of Jesus. Amen. And you know what? Guess what? Guess what? He invites you to be a part of His kingdom. Man, that'd make you shout. Do you understand? He has need of you. Need of you. The Lord needs you. Well, what could the Lord do with me? What could the Lord do with me? I'm nobody. I'm just a simple-minded. I, I can't do anything. I don't have talents. I don't have any great ability. I can't do this. I can't do that. But God put a purpose in you from your mother's womb. You was born to listen. In your mother's womb, you were designed and created for a designed purpose. And that purpose was to touch the nations, to give hope where there is no hope, to carry the word of life to where there is death. Hallelujah. God has a plan and a purpose. So what I'm going to say to you today, we're winding down on the last end of this, okay? What I'm going to invite you to do, what the Lord has invited you to do, is be a part of His great plan and purpose. You say, what can I do? Well, the Lord has need of you. And the thing that you do to find that is you surrender your will to His will, your plan to His plan. I know everybody in here has got plans. Yes, you want to have a... If you're young here, you want to marry somebody. If you're young here, you want to get the right guy. If you're young here, you want to have a great job. If you're young here, you want to live in a great home. If you're young here, you want to have a great career. If you're young here, you want to have great friends. I know you got all those things that you want. But listen, what I'm asking you, what is God's plan for your life? God's purpose and plan is far greater than any plan and purpose that you could scheme and devise. God's plan is greater than your plan. And the thing about God's plan, it always works. Guess what? I've tried a few things in my life on my own. And I have a lot of pain in my life right now from memory of things that I tried when I was young because I thought I had a plan, but it wasn't God's plan. So, wow. Go get him. And they went to find the donkey and the colt, just like the Lord said, the donkey and her colt. They were both there, but they were tied up. And so they said, untie him and we'll take him to the Lord. Today, I'm serious about this. There are people in this room right now, they're tied up. Pride has tied you up. Some of us get afraid and intimidated when it comes to doing things that we call weird. Man, how many people call Jesus weird? Can I get real? How many people really called Jesus weird? How many said, we've never done things like this before. We've never seen anything like this before. We've never seen somebody take and spit in the dirt and create mud and stick it in somebody's eyes and say, go wash in a pool. We've never seen anything like that. We've never seen a man walk on water. We've never seen a man walk into a leper colony and heal people that everybody else ran from and was scared of. We've never seen anything like that. He has done amazing things. He has done amazing things. He still amazes me. He's still doing amazing things. And today, God wants you to use you in His amazing plan. Some of you here today, you've been... You want God to use you. You do. You want God to use you. We're talking about the King of Glory speaking into your life and saying, Melody, I've got a purpose for you. Most of our thinking of that way is just tied to a church, going every Sunday, religiously fulfilling the duty, and then going back and doing their own thing throughout the week. God's got something so much more for you than that. Amen. Wow. So much more for you than that. Oh, man. And some of you God wants to use in this room, but you're not free. You're not free. Your minds are bound. You're bound by fear. You're bound by failure. You're bound by your past. You're bound by your sins. You're bound by your failures and your inadequacies. Some people here today, God wants to use you, but you've disqualified yourself and said, God can't use me. I messed up too much. But God takes that mess and He turns it into a powerful message. Oh, Jesus, I wish I had somebody here that was still with me today. bigger your mess, the bigger God's message is. Praise God for Brianna's and Clay's. Woo! That ought to make some... Man, I tell you what, if there'd been a dead man in here, he could have gotten up from the grave, Jason. Because, listen, God's about taking things that other people have trashed, raise them up, redeem them, and use them for His glory. Isn't He about doing that? Jason knows. He's smiling like a big possum eating possum grapes up in a tree. He knows. There's Ben. He's granddaddy's voice alarms him sometime. Hang on. The greater purpose in your life, the greater plan in your life is yet to come. Don't lose me here. Everybody knows Ben. Don't lose me now. He's just crying, guys. Babies cry, okay? Don't shift. Everybody shifts. Keep your focus. You know what? The devil would like for you to take your mind off what God's doing here right now. I know you don't believe that, but I'm saying, if God has a purpose and plan, don't you think that He won't let you look at a fly flying around? Anything. Because God's speaking into people's lives here this morning. I know it. It's in the bank. I know He is. And some of you are not living the purpose of God because you're tied up. So the Lord's saying, I'm going to loose. I'm getting ready to loose some people here today. Wow. The Lord spoke into a state penitentiary. Is it okay, brother, if I get real here? A man broken by drug addiction, distributing drugs, did drug runs from the north to the south, was about a lot of things, stabbed, nearly died. I don't know how many things he's been through. But God looked into a state penitentiary and He sent some disciples. He sent some crazy Holy Ghost, radical disciples into a state penitentiary over in Mountain City, Tennessee. Woo! And the Lord sent us there to the officials, to the warden, to the, listen, to the chaplains, to the officers, and said, listen, there's a donkey. Don't take that wrong. There's a donkey inside this prison. The Lord has need of him. The Lord wants him and He wants to use him. So guess what? Inside the wall, God set him free. Oh, if you really know what freedom is, you know right there that was your cue to shout, because who Jesus sets free, He is free indeed. 5 years ago, five and a half, 6 years ago, this man grabbed a hold of the Lord and God started untying him so he could do the work that God purposed for him to do. He was faithful inside the wall. So when he got outside the wall, he would really start being about the task God's called him to. He moved back to East Tennessee. He said, Pastor Har, I'm not staying here. I gotta go, because the Lord has need of me. So what he did, he changed his parole status. He got with the officials. He did all the things that he needed to do, because he told his officials, he said, listen, I gotta go to this crazy bunch of people, these disciples, these followers of Jesus over there in Southwest Virginia, because the Lord needs me over there. I got a work to do. I got a purpose to walk in. And I will say this. God's still freeing you, brother. He is still freeing you. And most of us here are works in progress. You ain't done yet. Boy, I'm glad that I'm not done yet. Because he's still changing in things in me, Kathy. He's still changing things in me. And I'm glad you're my cheerleader. Not only were you my cheerleader in high school, not only did you stand on the sidelines and jump and hoop and holler and do cartwheels. And when I was shooting that shot, you were taking your breath because you were cheering me on every way. But now you're doing your greatest cheering work right now. You're standing with this old crazy eagle and this old crazy pastor. And she's one of my greatest cheerleaders today. Cheering us on to walk in the purpose of God. Loose him and let him go. So he came. They got the donkey. God's going to loose you. He's going to let you go. But you've got to press forward to walk in that freedom. Some of you here want to be free, but you're still hanging on to things that's still holding you down. You can't walk in the purpose of God unless you're really free. Free, 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 free. You can say you're free. You can shout you're free. You can praise like you're free. But listen, until you get free to walk in the purpose and plan of God. So, they came and they put garments down. They put garments on the donkey. And they put Jesus on the one that had not been broken. All right, now I'm winding down here, please. The greatest thing's yet to come, okay? So hang on. Thank you, Lord, for this today. I truly thank you, Lord. Your manna is always fresh, and it's always new, and it's always great. And I thank you that there's bread in the house today for all those who would come to the table and dine. There's bread. So they put Jesus on the untamed donkey. Imagine that. Have you ever been to a donkey ball game? I have. Man, they have donkey ball games over in Eastern Kentucky. I know they do some crazy stuff over there. But used to, they in these gyms, they put these donkeys out there and they play each other. And they put these people on these donkeys and they make them, they put harnesses on them, made them wild. Well, listen, this was an untamed donkey. This donkey was wild. He was untamed. There's some of you here today, you're wild at heart. It's good to be wild at heart and following a passion for Jesus. But there's some of you here today that've got issues in your life that need to be tamed. They need to be brought under subjection. They need to be brought under authority, under the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are still wild. You got a wild side. You got a little bit of wildness in you. Guess what? Before God can really use you and walk into purpose, you got to be broke. You see, you got to get broke. You got to get broke because God can't use that wild side that's untamed. God can't use the wild part that distances yourself and tries to do it your own way. Isn't that what a wild horse does? Jody, I'm not a horse man. But a horse, a wild horse, a donkey does sort of does what they want to, right? You know what? God tamed this donkey. That nativity scene, everybody says, no, that donkey, you don't want that donkey on that in that nativity scene. Jody and me talked about it. I mean, we talked about, no, that's probably not a good thing to get that donkey around those kids. That's not. But you know what the Holy Ghost did? The Holy Ghost just come settled down in that nativity scene. He took that donkey. He must have been riding him all the way from Tazewell. Because listen, when he got to that nativity scene in December, kids were pulling his ears and pulling his mane, walking up behind him and hitting him on the backside. That donkey, Jenny, just stood there and took it all. Let me tell you something, friend. When God gets a hold of you, He'll do things in your life. He'll change your life. He'll change your direction. He'll take that pride and that stubbornness out of you. Can I be honest with you? And you take it in the right way? Some of you here are just pure stubborn. I'm pure stubborn sometimes. If you don't believe that, ask her. I'm stubborn. How many will be man or woman enough to committed right now that sometimes when God wants me to do something, I'm just stubborn. Come on, be real. Sure, you know what I'm talking about. But the Lord has to break you. Okay. Listen. This donkey was created for that moment. All the donkeys, those two were set aside for God to use. He could have looked anywhere. He could have come riding into Jerusalem on a big white galloping steed like most kings did. Because before a king conquered a city, what he would do is he would ride to the gates on a big horse. And what he was saying is, I've come to conquer. Jesus came on a lowly ass. He came on a lowly mule, a donkey. He came riding in on a donkey's colt. He came riding in on this animal that had never been ridden before. And what he was saying to the world is, listen, that's words in the Bible, so don't some of you freak out. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us. You see, we're bound by religion. Did you hear what I said? That's a donkey. That's what the Bible calls it. There's some that words in the Bible actually irritate us because we're so bound. That's right. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Cheryl. So where was I? You see, you all broke my... Thank you, Jesus. Help me get back on track. So this donkey was broken by the greatest bronc riding individual that ever was. Jesus sat on that donkey and all nature bowed at his supremacy. He has all power and authority over all things on this earth. The very animals he created, he was sitting on one of them that had never been ridden, but yet the Lord broke them. You know, I've gone through periods of life in my life before Roy. I went through 20 years of my life in ministry. I gave up the ministry. I pastored that little Baptist church up there for years. For about 14 years, I pastored up there, and there and then over in Eastern Kentucky. But I came to the end of myself. I didn't commit some great sin. I didn't cheat on my wife. I didn't do things that some people say. I just left the ministry. I left because I came to the end of myself. It seemed to me as empty because I was doing it in vain. I was doing it to accomplish my own goals and purposes. And God had to break me. And so he put me in a ministry for 20 years that I didn't always see, I didn't always understood. But God did a work. There in that ministry, he filled me with the power of the Holy Spirit. There in that ministry, he taught me about praise and worship. In that ministry, he taught me about how to be a servant. In that ministry, he taught me it's better to serve than it is to be served. In that ministry, the Lord poured things into my life. But in that ministry, God broke off of me a stubbornness, a pride, a thing in my life that I didn't need. For 20 years, I stayed. And many times I wanted to leave, but God hadn't finished breaking me. There's some of you here today. Man, I look back over this crowd today. And I'm looking at all the potential that God sees in you. Man, what we could do if we only can get together and know what God has purposed us to do. This donkey had the opportunity of a life. Let me ask you a question. What would you do if Jesus came to you today and said, I need a ride? So let me say, what if Jesus come to you and said, I need a ride today? That's what those donkeys did. You know what they carried into Jerusalem all the way to the gates of the temple? They carried the Word that was in flesh. That little donkey carried Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the King, the Anointed One. Never before had he ever been around anything like that. You'll never accomplish in yourself what God wants to accomplish in you through his powerful purpose. And you can build barns and you can build castles and sand castles and you can do all kinds of great things in yourself. You can accomplish great deeds, but until you come and realize by surrender that you untie, allow the Lord to loose you to walk in the purpose of God. And then from that day forward, realizing you're ready for the ride of your life. Oh man, I'm feeling something right now. I know some of you ready to go home, but listen, I'm ready to dance a little bit because this guy, these donkeys, were getting ready to carry the Son of God. Josh, you know what you've been called to do, brother? Oh, I know. You want insurance? Yeah. You're smart. You do math. You do all those things. You're a businessman. You know all those things. But you know what? That's a little bit what you do on the earth. What you're really being called to do. Is this yours? Can I borrow it? You've been called to carry that, brother. Josh, I have need of you. The Lord says, I have need of you. Yes, you're in a place that I've designed and created. But I purpose that, my son. I purpose for you for greater things. Because the greater thing that I desire to do in you is yet to come. So surrender, submit to my leadership, and I'll lead you forth. I'll do a great and mighty thing in your life that you can't accomplish in your own strength, in your own might. For I'm ready, the Lord says. Are you ready to carry my word? Are you ready to take my word to the ends of the earth? Are you ready to carry my hope to those that are hopeless? I didn't plan on that. Do you understand what the Lord, Roy? Do we understand what we get to do? Erica, do we understand? Can we fathom that? Can we fathom that? Can we grasp that? Can we get a hold of that? Can we comprehend that? That the King of Glory wants us to carry forth his word to the lost. We've all been called to do that. By the way, some may do it in greater detail, but we've all been called to carry Jesus. So today, closing. What are you going to do? The Lord needs you. I didn't tell you that. The Lord told you that. Well, I'm willing, Lord. Are we? Are we willing to on our conditions or his conditions? I will, Lord, as long as it isn't inconvenient. As long as it doesn't bother me or disturb me or trouble me, as long as it doesn't stretch me or get me all out of sorts, as long as I can do that, Lord, I'll do it. That's not what the Lord's saying. Loose him and let him go because I got need of him. So, man, here was two donkeys riding into Jerusalem. People shouting and praising, Hosanna. Crazy, man. It was crazy, Cindy. It was crazy that day. If you thought this little celebration, thank you, Kathy, for you all being about that today on the spur of the moment. Thank you, Becky, for being about all that. Thank you for all those who tried to portray that today. Didn't they do an awesome job today? Didn't they do an awesome job? Woo, what a crazy day that was. You know what? They were carrying a miracle to where miracles need to be carried. Because you know what was waiting them at the temple gates? There were blind people waiting. There were crippled people waiting. Man, when I leave and go out these walls, guess what? I meet crippled people and blind people every day. I remember what Sister Poole said when we laid hands on her. This is what she said, Lakin. She says, I want you to pray for me because I want to see so I can read God's word. That's what she said. We laid hands on her and believed. There's a miracle waiting on you today. Do you hear me? There's a miracle waiting on you. You're carrying the miracle worker. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. Father, help us for right now. I know we've been here a few minutes, but Lord, I pray that the power of Jesus would, Lord, bring every thought under subjection, Lord. Every idle thought, every stray thought under subjection, Lord. And show us today what we need to do in this place. Those donkeys carried the miracle worker inside the city to the temple gate, and the miracles were waiting. Bree, come here. Oh, Jesus. You know what you did for 9 months? You carried the miracle worker. I know it was a burden. I know it was a burden. You see, a burro or a donkey, I won't call it the other name because it's going to mess some of you up too much. Listen, that beast, they call it a beast of burden because he works his whole life. That's why God made him, because he can carry things that no other animals can carry. Twice his size, because he was designed that way. God made you to carry more than you think you can carry. And you will never know that until you go through what you go through. But you'll see when you go through what God's asking you to go through, he's there to help you carry your load all the way. Nadine, the hand of the Lord has helped you. God has helped you. Don't go anywhere, Bree. I know. It's been a burden, but you carried it. Faithful, and you kept believing, expecting. Now you're holding that precious little head in your hands. I'm going to say this to you. Some of you all got some precious things that you're going to be holding up the road just a little bit. What are they, Pastor? A husband. Where's Connie? A husband. Connie texts me all the time and said, Pastor Hart, I can't get over sitting beside my husband and looking over and glancing out of the corner of my eye, seeing him do things that I didn't know would ever happen before. But seeing him praise God, seeing him lift his hands up, seeing him shout jubilations unto God. Oh, Pastor R, I get excited. Some of you in here need to get excited, because your miracle's coming. You've been carrying it for a while, but it's coming. And this too shall come to pass. Right? Some of you got loved ones you're going to be holding. Some of you are going to be standing around this altar. Not this, just this altar, that altar up at Lost Creek. It's going to be far bigger than this one. There are going to be so many people coming in, it's going to take everybody on deck to facilitate the call that God's going to make on the lost. They're going to come from droves. Yes, they're going to come from miles. They're going to come from miles. And listen, God's already told us. He's already showed us. We're already eating fruit of the land. If you don't believe that, look around the room. Is everybody here from Wise, Virginia? Norton, Coburn, Pound, Hayside, Eastern Kentucky, Northeast Tennessee, they're coming. But you're yet to see what God's going to do. So we got to be faithful to carry His word to the hopeless. That's why we go behind the walls. That's why we go to places like the bridge and love on people who smell. Love on people who haven't had anybody smile and just love them in a long time. Man, man, some of you all need to look for something else to get you high. Man, whoa, Jesus. When I pray for somebody, Roy, and I say, in the name of Jesus, open your heart. And they open their heart and say, Jesus, come in. Whoa, man, that's the most powerful thing you could ever imagine. That's seeing the dead raised. That's seeing the blind see. Some of you all need to get it together. You've got something to shout about. So quit trying to be cool and just be Jesus. I'm going to pray a good shout on some of you all. I'm going to pray a shout on you. Come. Something to get a hold of you. Just grab a hold of your heart and stop moving in your arms. Stop moving in your feet. We love you. I want you to stand right here, Brianna. Because there's some people out here today. God sent a call out earlier. Some people didn't respond. But if you believe that your greatest day is yet to come, I know there's only so much room up here. Maybe we all don't need to be, have to be up here. But I want us just to stand, first of all, in our heart. You can come up here every week. But if you're not standing in your heart and surrendering your heart, all you're doing is just coming. And you might mean well by it, but you've got to be free. Because the Lord needs you. He needs you for His greatest work to be done on this earth. He needs you. He needs some end time saints that are rocking the cross. I'd like to see a number so great at the crosswalk Sunday, this Friday. I'd like for Bubby, Bubby's of Norton Police. I'd like to see a number so big that the police department get nervous down there and say, oh no, is there a riot going to happen here? No, we're just rocking for the cross. We're just carrying the cross. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? So I want every head bowed. Lord Jesus, I've tried to be quick, efficient. I've tried to be what you want me to be, Lord. If I failed, it's been human error. It's not been you, because you can never fail. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to do something that no one in this room can do. God, there are people here today that the Lord needs their service. He needs their talent. He needs what He placed in their life to do, to carry forth the greatest purpose and plan of God in their life. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, to move right now like never before. I ask you to break hearts that are stiff, and break hearts that are stubborn and rebellious and prideful and selfish. Break hearts that are self-willed and help them to yield to the purpose and plan of God. And there's where you'll really use them. In Jesus' name, I believe that, Lord. So Brianna's standing up here today. And she represents, and many of you could stand right here with her today. You know what I'm talking about. This is Pick on Brianna Day. But many of you here today could stand right up here. Kevin, you could be standing up here. Many of you could be standing up here today beside her. Because you know what? Your greatest miracle is yet to come. Tabitha, do you remember what the doctors told you? You're not supposed to have children. But you're carrying one of the brightest little... You're an heir, you're carrying and graced with the greatest little beauty that's deep inside of her that you could ever imagine. Looks just like her mamaw. Doctor said that couldn't happen. But God says I can make it happen. So if you're here today and you need, the Lord needs you. I'm just asking, I'm telling you, God needs you today. So it's about you saying, Lord, I resign my will and I surrender. Untie me, Lord. Loose me. Loose me from my past, my chains. Loose me from my fears. Loose me from my insecurities. Right now, I want to do a great work for you in the kingdom of God. If that's you, I want you to slip your hand up when no one's looking. Just slip your hand up with me and say, Pastor R, God zeroed right in on me, man. He drew a circle right around my heart. If that's you, I want you to raise your hands right now. All over this room, you listen, this is a time to quit being shy. This is a time to quit being prideful. If you're here and you want God to use you right now, slip your hand up with mine. Right now, in the name of the Lord. Thank you. Keep those hands up. Thank you. Keep those hands up right now. God's breaking things right now. He's breaking things right now. There's others right now God's telling me that needs. There's others right now God's telling, surrender, surrender. It's not your will. It's not your plan. It's mine. And some of you right now resisting the Holy Ghost. He said, why do you still resist the Holy Ghost? Today is the day. Now's the time. If you hear his voice, keep your hand up, please. If you don't mind, if you get tired, switch the other hand. If you're here today and God has a purpose or plan, or you know that, or God spoke to your heart, anything, and you need a miracle right now, lift your hand with mine, because this is your greatest day. This is one of your greatest days right now. Be honest, be honest, be honest, be honest right now. Slip your hand up with mine. Slip your hand up with mine. This is not a trick. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to come back to you. We're not going to do anything to you. Just lift your hand up with mine and say, Pastor, that's me. 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 Right now, all over this room. I'm just going to say one number, and that's the number after two. And if that's you, I want you to stand to your feet or come forward. We're going to believe God. This is going to be the beginning of the greatest day, the greatest journey of your whole life. Three, right now, if that's you, I want you to surrender right now. Surrender to Christ. Come on. Come on. Come on right now. Come on right now. Come right now.
Your people right here, God.